All right. Our campus staff is amazing. Thank you guys so much for everything. So cool. That's a wonderful job. There goes the pink. Awesome. Yeah, don't forget the coffee cup. Cool. Well, as you notice, we're mixing things up tonight, as Spencer said. And so I just want to let you know kind of what's going on with that as we get going tonight. It's been on a lot of our hearts that we make a little adjustment to things. And because we really want to see God move. We've been praying that God would really move and do some profound things. And so in the middle of all that and praying about that and saying, what are we supposed to do next? We had an interesting thing happen on Wednesday night. How many people were at church on Wednesday night? Okay, great. We had a bunch of people there. And it was amazing. We have been really praying, and Pastor Phil has been speaking about the power of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit moving on us. And we really saw a real move of God, and we had a bunch of people really get ministered to deeply, powerfully by the Holy Spirit on Wednesday night. And so we thought, goodness gracious, you know, I don't know, as I was praying about it, it was like God was saying, what are you waiting for? If we're going to bring a change to some things, then he's like, then I'm stirring, I'm moving, and it's time for some fresh things to happen. And so we're really excited for that. So we're mixing up the format a little bit. Now some of you are going, oh my gosh, I came a little bit hungry. And at any Christian event, if the presence of God is going to be there, there needs to be food. And we haven't had that happen yet, you know, and like God doesn't show up if there aren't snacks of some sort. We will have our snacks after CCF. So hang in there, all right? Now, some of you didn't eat and you've been counting on the snacks, the s'mores mix. I'm holding you over until breakfast or whatever. And we'll do that afterwards. But we're mixing things up a little bit and asking that God would move. And so can we pray that here tonight? Together, would you please bow your heads? Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are moving. We thank you that we got to meet with you in our time in worship, in song. We thank you, God, that we don't come here to just sing songs. We don't come here to just gather. We don't come here because this is a club sort of thing, but that we're here to meet with you. We thank you that you're changing lives, God. We thank you for radical transformation and what it is that you're doing. We thank you that we've got the testimony of the power of your word as your word is moving and stirring in us, and we ask that you continue to do that. We pray that we would be conformed to you and what it is that you want to do, God, that we lay aside our own agendas and desires, and tonight we ask that you would take your will, that your pleasure would be done here in this place. We invite you and thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. All right, well, we've been a little bit on this thanks theme, which makes sense. We're going into Thanksgiving and giving thanks and everything. And so tonight, this is our title. As I was praying about this, I was just excited for this. You see the no with a big exclamation point and question mark, and then the little thank you with a capital Y. A subtitle, how to manipulate the God of the universe, all right, which most of us know doesn't go very well. And everything, but we got that there, and you'll understand that here a little bit later. The point is this, is that there are times when it seems like God is saying no, and we're kind of like back to him, no? And he's like, no. And we're like, no. 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 You know? And he's like, no. I'm like, and over time, eventually, I think often we'll get to the place where we're able to say to him, thank you. And that's what we'll talk about tonight. You see, there's often this battle of the wills that's happening, all right? Because sometimes what God wants is not what we want. And sometimes what we want is not what God wants. And sometimes the things we don't want, God does want. And sometimes the things God doesn't want is what we do want. And so we've got this conflict of the wills, and we see it in the Scripture. Ever felt that? Ever been there? I think a lot of us probably have. We go, I know this isn't good for me. I know this isn't right. And I know that I propose you this, but God, I know that things would go so well if I had this. All right. I gave Suzanne permission a long time ago. I said, honey, if you feel like I'm making some decision that's kind of crazy, all right, I want you to feel free to say, hey, have you talked to Pastor Phil about that? You know, because it's easy to say for her to say, hey, have you talked to God about that? And I could easily say, oh, sure. You know, and say, what did he say to you? And I go, well, you know, I didn't hear a no, you know, and so until he says no, then like it's go, right? No means go, right? And not necessarily. You know, it's just easy for us to kind of get confused sometimes and what it is that we're feeling, we're thinking we would like to happen and all that, and what the will of God really is. Pastor Bill's been talking on Sundays. Part of this whole thing, as we're looking at the Holy Spirit, is that there's often this conflict between what it is that the Holy Spirit wants, being led by the Spirit, and what we want and what it means to be led by the flesh. In fact, he's been talking about how the Spirit and the flesh are at odds with each other. And so the simple truth is if we're led by the flesh, we'll often be outside of the will of God. And so there's this conflict. There's this butting of heads. There's this struggle that's happening. You know, sometimes we're in the will of God and everything's great. It's hunky-dory and things are going well and we've got peace. And then other times there's this struggle and things aren't going well. And some of us have been in the struggle and then walked into this place where there's this peace again. And if you're there and you're going, man, I'm not really fighting at all with the struggle between what God wants and what I want. I just want what he wants. And it seems like he just wants what I want. It's like we're honeymooning or something. That's great. But I'll tell you what, the struggle is going to come back. Okay, the struggle is real. All right. And I hate to prophesy this to you, but if it's going well, you're going to have that conflict again. And it happens. All right. And if you think that it's not going to happen, that I hate to tell you, but it's going to be. There's this conflict of wills. What is it that we should do? What is it that God has for me? What is it that I want and what God wants? And sometimes there's this conflict. And if we think that somehow that's sort of this special thing for us here stuck in humanity, well, Jesus went through it himself, all right? You might remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before it is that he's going to go through this messed up trial and everything that's going on with all that. And ultimately to be crucified, and he knows what's coming with all of that. He knows the torture, the torment that he's going to be going through. Remember part of what he prays there, and we have it here, Luke 22:42. He says this, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. And the grand mystery of God and all that he is, most of us understand that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, we've got this Trinity, all right, these three distinct individuals that are also one, and we use these analogies to try to explain it. The kids go, Dad, how on earth does that happen? How can they be three and one all at the same time? And we're like, well, it's kind of like an egg, you know? You've got the yolk, and you got the white, and you got the shell, you know? And one of them themselves, you go, oh, look at the egg. But they're not really the egg if you don't have them all together, but all together, they're the egg. Does that make sense? And they go, no. You go, yeah, I don't get it either, you know, but that's what I was supposed to say. So let's have some breakfast, you know? Here we go, you know? Eggs sound good, you know, here we go. And some bacon, too. So we don't understand it, but we know this thing's going on. And they're connected, okay? So Jesus comes, the Bible says that he was God, God in the flesh, all right? But here he is praying to God at the same time, and there's conflict of wills. If Jesus is God, and he's in conflict with God in the middle of the whole thing, he's very well connected, led by the Holy Spirit. If he's going through that conflict, who are we to think that we're going to be exempt from it? It's going to happen. Jesus had to surrender his will to God's will, and we've got to do the same. And as we go through life, there's going to be these times where we're having to say no to our own will. And too often, we say no to God and yes to our own will, and we reap the consequences of that decision or those decisions. It often happens, right? And what I want us to try to entertain and to gather our minds around and grasp is this idea that if we will say yes to God and no to ourselves, which needs to happen way more frequently than we would like, really, then in the end, we're going to say thank you. Thank you. But if we say yes to ourselves and miss out on the will of God over and over again, we're going to find ourselves in life saying, God, where were you? And he's saying, I stepped into your life. I tried to make this very clear. In the Old Testament, he says to his people, he sets before them blessing and cursing, life and death. He goes, I can't make this any more obvious. It's not like pretty good life and good life. All right, it's really close. Either way, it's going to be, he goes, I'm going to set before you life and death. All right, oh, which one do you think you should choose? And all the while, he's going, don't do the death thing. All right, this is not good. All right, don't go this way. And we're like, gosh, God, I'm just so torn. You know, life and death, they both look really good right now. And it seems ridiculous, but that's what we go through. You know, hey, Dad, you know, I'm struggling with this thing right now. I got these two options for me. Okay, son, you know, I'm here to help. Great. You know, one's life and the other's death. You know, I don't know. What do you think? seriously? You know, but that's what's in front of us. You know, we think about it and go, if a friend were to come to me and ask that question, you know, I'd be like, slap him. I'm like, this is a question? What happened? You know, where did this become a struggle at all? But we go through that. We've just got to play it out a little farther. Listen to the voice of God. And often he is saying no. And in the end, we will say, thank you. Thank you. There's the old country song, some of you are familiar with. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers, right? Remember when you're talking, I'm not going to do it. To the man upstairs, I got to do it. Just because he don't answer doesn't mean he don't care. There we go. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. There was a couple getting married at Living Faith Fellowship, and they had me write a country song for their wedding. And she goes, you really can sing country. I'm like, I can. Is that a compliment? Or I don't know. I actually love country music. And anyway, moving on. So, but there's a reason for that song. And then it sold, you know, millions of copies. You know, it's true. We look back and we go, wow. It's just unfortunate that sometimes we look in hindsight and go, oh, well, I wish I hadn't gone kicking and screaming all along the way. I wish I hadn't gone kicking and screaming all along the way. Tonight, what I want to do is share a little bit of my story and Suzanne's and how God brought us together a little bit to help illustrate this a little bit, because it's a big deal. I know that relationships are on most of our minds and hearts, and, you know, once or twice every second, it's a topic that we care about, right? And everything. So let me just tell you, set this up and tell you kind of what happened. We'll try to make a very long story, kind of very short, okay? When I was born, no, it's not quite that far. We were living in the middle of nowhere. My dad was doing ministry and everything. And when I was 12, I was reading the Bible. And I wasn't the most spiritual guy or anything like that, but I was reading the Bible. I think, if I remember right, I was sick. And we, again, like I mentioned, we were poor. We didn't have TV and all that stuff and everything. So we read books, actual books with pages and stuff. And I was reading the Bible. And I was reading Genesis 24, the story of Isaac and Rebecca. And as I read that, it just something kind of hit me right in the heart. And God told me, that's what it's going to be like when I bring you, the wife that I have for you. That's what your story is going to look like. It's going to parallel that. And I was like, well, that's interesting, you know, and that's cool. And at 12, of course, I was interested in relationships. Most of us were, you know, and all that. And so I was excited about that. All I ever really wanted to do was get married. You know, I saw my friends, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, going through this stuff and the mess of relationships and these little relationships, little kind of marriages and little divorces and everything that was kind of going on and all that. You know, I love you, I hate you, and all those things. And I thought, I want nothing to do with that. If I could just get married, that'd be great. And I saw the chaos, and I thought, I just got to kind of wait till the dust kind of settles, and everybody's like, wow, this was dumb, you know, and maybe, you know, I'll do this a little differently. And so that's kind of where I was at, like, this is crazy, and I'm kind of lonely and feeling like a total dork and, you know, all the stuff that most of us felt. I wouldn't have a show of hands because I'd probably be the only one, and then I'd feel lonely and a dork again. And so anyway, I didn't like that time. But anyway, so I figured by 18 or so it would probably happen, and it didn't. So I came up to school, and I kind of just hung out for a little bit, and I was like, wow, look at all these people my age. It was kind of amazing and all that, and trying to figure out, am I going to bump into someone along the way here? Some people meet that person at college. That'd be great. You know, again, I want to get married at 16, and so 19 is okay, I guess. And nothing happened. 20, nothing happened. 21, I finally came to church, okay? And so I remember walking into church, and church was here at the time. I remember walking in this room and going, oh, my goodness. I mean, oh, God's goodness. I mean, oh, my goodness. And all these amazing girls, people. And this is incredible. And all these brothers and sisters in Christ. It's amazing. So that was really exciting and all that. And kind of right away, it wasn't very long, you know, down the road a little bit. I met amazing people. And this one great young lady caught my eye, and it kind of seemed right off that things were just kind of like maybe something was supposed to happen there, whatever. I mean, all the stuff that you kind of talk about that you're like, oh, wow, you know, like we got baptized the same night, you know, water baptisms here at church. I mean, like, if that's not a sign from God, what is? Okay. Seriously, you know. So that's just like clearly God's writing that story. Must be, you know, clearly. You know, and we're kind of hanging out a little bit and everything, and people are like, wow, you know. I remember a friend of mine saying, this gal, a different gal, she was saying, wow, I just can't wait for the wedding. You know, I'm like, whoa, slow down, you know, me neither. You know, and you're kind of, what are you thinking? So hurry it up, you know. Just got to think it. So we were kind of sort of courted a little bit, and we never held hands, all that stuff. We were like, you know, total holy courting, you know, like, you know, we didn't even look at each other, kind of courting, you know, everything. It's awesome, and very close. Anyway, but it just really seemed like God was saying no, you know. And so we had this talk, you know, like, I don't think this is really what's supposed to be happening right now. And she felt the same way, and you know, it's one of those things that happens. You're like, no way, you feel that way too? And you're like, oh, you know, you're like almost closer for breaking up. You're like, this is weird, and so we gotta go a different way. So it was hard, okay, because it was actually the first time I'd ever really been interested in somebody, and so it was exciting. And it was really hard for me to handle, because I was interested, and I knew that God was saying no, at least right now. You know, I'm going, but he's saying like no forever, you know, like for a day or a week or... You know, but really getting out. And so, like, I, like, really seriously kind of, like, tried to avoid her because it was just difficult. It was challenging, okay? So fast forward a little while, and we kind of, it's like, neither of us had anything else was going on. And a few years later, like, about graduation or whatever, we kind of courted again for a little bit. It's just like, you know, how could this be wrong? We got baptized the same night, okay? And so we kind of courted again for a little bit. But it just seemed like God was saying, no, again, this isn't supposed to happen. It's like, what? You know, and so we kind of had a little talk again. And I was like, yeah, this is even more awkward. And so away we go. So then fast forward a little bit farther, and I'm really kind of moving more and more into ministry and everything that God's doing. And it was neat. It was awesome. And there was a girl who was a student here at WSU that ended up in Russia running a church there. Okay, she was like a pastor of a church and everything, and we're all hearing these amazing things that happen in the church as this young lady is running the church and everything. It's like, whoa, you know, and she's more of a man than I am, and this is awesome, you know. And she, here you go, whatever. And she came back. It was time to hand off the church to the people there in Russia, so she did. And she came back, and we kind of met. I hadn't really hung out with her before and kind of talked. And it's like, wow, we kind of seem like we're on the same trajectory, you know, in God. And so how could this is amazing. This has got to be great. We've got the same kind of calling, it looked like, whatever. So we kind of hung out a little bit and everything. And it just, and people were kind of like, you know, here you go. And this should be great. And I remember one person talking to me saying, you've got to just kind of go for it, you know, and this will be amazing. And I said, well, but the dream that God gave me is this. The image that God gave me when I was 12 is this thing from Genesis 24. And here's what this person said to me. They said, look, Joe, do you know why Disney has to animate their movies? I was like, well, I don't think I like where this is headed, you know. I said, well, I think I know the technical answer, but you're making a point. You know, go ahead. And here we go. I said, because it doesn't happen in real life, okay? And you're kind of hanging on to this fairy tale that you got to let go of. I was like, Okay. So Pastors Phil and Carrie had been my, like, spiritual parents for a long time, and they knew the story of what I felt like God had spoken to me when I was 12. And so I went to them, and I said, hey, here's, you know, kind of this thing I heard, and you know, I'm like getting older and all this stuff and everything, and you know, you start over the hill, and it gets kind of, I don't know, that's kind of how I was feeling. And so, you know, what should I do? And here's what they said to me. I remember talking to them, and they said, look, God spoke something to you, okay, that we agree with 100%, and you never settle for something less than what God has spoken to you, okay? Now, that didn't mean, okay, now please, hear me, all right? It sounded like God told me, thou shalt marry a supermodel someday, and do not settle for less than that. I'm like, yes, Lord, you know, that's not it, okay? That's not it, all right? You hear what I'm saying? You know, if you marry a woman worth less than $1 billion, you've missed out on what I have for you. It's not it, okay? It's not it, all right? It was about the character and all those things that God spoke to me there in Genesis 24. And it didn't line up with that. And that's what they're talking about. They said, never give up on what God's spoken to you. I was like, thank you. That's kind of what I feel like, you know, like, why would that happen to a 12-year-old and everything? So I was hanging on praying for that, all right? So then I got ordained, and, well, before that, I went back to this young lady because I was continuing to pray about this, and God showed me something in Proverbs, and it was this. Because we were, like I said, kind of headed the same direction, but I realized that we weren't really in love. And God showed this to me. In Proverbs, there's this thing. It says, God, there's three things that God hates, yea, four he despises. You know, it's one of those lists, okay? And one of the things that it says is this. It says, a wife who is unloved. And God spoke to me and said, you know, Joe, you don't really love her, and she deserves better than you. I was like, okay, that's kind of direct, you know. Kind of getting personal now, you know. But better than what I felt for her, better than that. And that he's like, I have more for her than that. And it was a great little eye-opener, you know, for something that I already knew in my head that God was wreaking some havoc in my heart over, and that is this. There's someone else in this equation, all right, and he is my future father-in-law, so to speak, all right, and he cares very much for her and who it is that she is going to marry someday, and he had someone better for her than me. I'm like, that hurts and everything, but I see that, and that's good. And she was crazy happily married not long after I broke up with her, and it was crazy awesome to watch her fall in love and everything. All that stuff is amazing. So, God ordained, okay, a single guy, which is kind of awkward. You know, one of the qualities usually is a husband of one wife and everything. I'm the single guy on the stage, I'm like, you know, and everything and all that. But God ordained, and I had the privilege of doing some weddings as a single minister and everything, which is kind of a little awkward. And you're sitting up there with this couple, and you're like, you know, this is so beautiful, you know, and. Well, you know, I'm told that if you'll honor God in this relationship, it'll go well. I don't know. What am I even doing here? I know nothing about this. You know, it's amazing. You know, and if you'll put him first, it should work great. I don't know. You know, whatever. I'm kidding. I didn't do that. But it was kind of a little strange. You know, I'm marrying some of my closest friends and all that stuff. It was a tremendous privilege. It was. It was the same guy. And then this girl, okay. It had been 7 years now, and we kind of gave it round three. Okay, she's still single. I'm still single. We're both more desperate, okay, at this point and everything. We're like, surely God has not forsaken us completely. Third time's a charm, you know, and God's like, no, you know. And so we're like, okay, fine. She gets married, happily married. It's amazing. Away they go and all this stuff. I'm like, oh, my goodness gracious, this is crazy. So this is where when it gets kind of fun. Because Proverbs 14:12 says that there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end leads to death. There's a way that seems right to us, but God's got a different plan. He's got something different going on, and we need to be submitted to him in that plan. So, summer of my 30th year, the 30th year of Joseph, okay? And I'm going, man, I'm getting old. I'm down in Boise over spring break. This is the year before we started Breakaway and everything. That was awesome. I'm down in Boise, and I'm doing some stuff, working for my dad and everything, helping him with some stuff and everything, and over spring break, and then headed back up here to Pullman. But while I was down there, I was down in Boise, and I'm going, man, it's a big city, and I'm thinking, this is what I was going through. I'm thinking, man, there's, like, probably lots of Christian women, people down here, and maybe some even my age and everything. And I'm serious. This is what I'm going through. I'm going, this is kind of crazy. I want to get married since I was, like, 12, 14, 16, 18, whatever. And here I am, 30 and single. And so maybe there's, like, some Christian single. And I'm going, well, bar's bad, maybe. But Christian single smoothie shop. I don't know. Something. All right, great. And, you know, whatever. Then I could go check out or something. I don't know. And I'm just praying about this whole thing, okay? And I'm going, you know, I don't know. You know, I just don't know how it's going to happen, really. You know, otherwise, whatever. And God, what do I do? Because there's this longing in my heart, obviously, okay, and all this stuff. And here's what God spoke to me. He said, Joe, what do you want your future wife to be doing right now? And I'm like, oh, man, you know, I want her, like, serving. I want her, like, being mentored by someone awesome. And I want her, you know, saying no to all the stuff the world's doing and yes to you, God, and just being surrendered to you and going for it and all that stuff and everything. And you know, yeah. And he goes, and he said to me, do you want her at a, like, Christian singles bar, you know, trying to find a guy? I'm like, that'd be desperate. Gosh. No. Weak faith. No, you know. Oh. I see what you did there. Okay. And I'm like, well, you know, but And this is my honest conversation. Okay, I'm just being, I really am being honest. I'm not just saying that because people say that all the time. I'm going to be honest with you, be more honest than I'd like to be. And I'm going, okay, God, okay, I'm 30. I'm ordained, okay? Following you, trying to serve you. Not sure why this hasn't worked out yet, okay? But if I keep running after you and everything, okay? Just running after you, God. Just running after you. Okay, there's this old analogy. Okay, you got this. Here's me. Okay. Here's she. Okay. Okay. And the analogy says this. Here's God. Okay. And if I run after her, you know, then I'm not running after God. And if she runs after me, then I'm not running after, then she's not running after God. And people say, and so the two of you will miss each other. And I'm going, hey, maybe the collision could work. I don't know, you know, whatever, boom. But I messed up the analogy, so that, I'm just telling you, again, being vulnerable. And that's what I was thinking when they showed me this illustration. But anyway, so I'm going, but if I'm running after you, God, I'm going crazy, running after you, okay? And let's say she's back here, and she's, like, growing, whatever. And then, you know, because I was a math major for a while, and I'm going, okay, I don't know everything about this and vectors and all that stuff, but the harder and faster I run after you, the farther I would get from her. That's not good, right? And God's like, oh, Joe. You silly little guy. He goes, okay, what if this is happening? What if she's over here going, God, I'm just running after you and growing and everything and all that. And if I keep doing that and he's over here just kind of doinking around, then I'm getting farther from him. I was like, I better get on my horse. Let us go. Okay. And that was an honest conversation I had with God. All right. That was the summer I turned 30. Would you please welcome Suzanne? Suzanne, come on up here. All right, cool. So Suzanne's going to tell you what was happening in her that same summer, because as God would, you know, have it, get a little footy thing there if you want it. There you go. Great. Then, okay. There was stuff happening in her life. Go ahead.
Well, actually, he keeps saying summer, but it was
spring break. Sorry.
Spring break.
Before breakaway. Yeah.
So spring break, he was in Boise looking for a Christian singles bar. That very...
I thought about it. I didn't do it.
And that spring break of that very year, I was an intern in a campus ministry, and I was leading a mission trip. And so I had a group of college students, and I was leading a mission trip. And after that mission trip, God really, like, I was really seeking God because my internship was going to end soon. And I was like, God, you know, what do you have for me? And so I just remember, like,
having... Because you've been a year out of college at that point. You're finishing that up.
So I was in the year after college. It was like the spring break after I graduated college. And during this internship, it was a campus ministry and training internship. And I didn't know, I knew I was supposed to do this internship for a year. I didn't know at all what God had for me next, but... I was just really seeking God during that time, on my knees, on my face before the Lord, like, Lord, what do you have for me? I need to know. I need to make some plans. I need to move forward. And God just really spoke very clearly to me during that time that I was supposed to go full time into campus ministry. Awesome. And in that, that's when somebody from University of Idaho, they had recently planted a campus ministry there. That they had, then they contacted me and asked me if I would come on staff as the female staff member there.
So that's spring break, right? And then, so you're going through all that and everything while I'm going, okay, God, I'll pray, and and here we go, and everything. So yeah, that happens. So then that next summer, okay, as the summer gets going and I'm gearing up, I've just been college pastor for just a little bit, and we're gearing up for another year of college ministry and everything, and everything we're doing on both campuses, WSU and U of I. I'm praying about all that. And so here's, you know, frankly, part of the thought process is I'm going, okay, so probably not going to be a freshman showing up here. I'm you know, 30. So that summer I turned 31, okay? You go, that's a big age gap, you know, whatever. And so I don't know how this is going to happen, God, you know? And so at this point, part of me is also going, you know, maybe I'm just called to be single, and this is what God has for me, even though there's this huge desire in my heart, huge longing in my heart, has been since I was a kid. And I really had to kind of settle some things. And I heard God saying, hey, if single was what I had for you, you know, would I and everything that I've blessed you with, would that be enough? And it didn't take me long to just say, you know what, God, if that was it, and I wasn't to get married, I would still be among the most blessed men to ever walk the face of the earth. To know you, to be saved, redeemed, ransomed by you, when all I deserve is hell. And then to be in such an incredible church family, to have the privilege of getting to minister to so many people and to see lives changed in a profound way as you're doing the miracles you're doing in them, to be involved and ushering people into your presence and all of that. It's the greatest privilege anybody could ever hope or dream for, and that's more than enough. And so yes, Lord. So that's what I was going through in that process in the summer.
And for me, my mentors, my female mentors in campus ministry were both older women that were not married. And so the picture I had of being in full-time campus ministry was probably that I wasn't going to get married. And I was like, okay, God, you're calling me to Moscow, Idaho, a small farming community with a college. I'm out of college, probably not going to get together with a college student. I'm out of college. I'm in a small farming town. This sounds like I might be single for a while or ever. And that was kind of the thing that I was like, okay. But the cool thing that the Lord did in me too is just like really coming to a place where, Lord, you're enough. Like my greatest dream in the natural sense is to get married and have a family. But Lord, if I believe really coming to the place where believing like his plans are the best plans for me. And so if he's bringing me to a small farming town in the middle of nowhere that I'd never been before, then Lord, that must be the best thing for me, and I'll do it, Lord. I'll go where you have for me to go.
So then we started outreach at WSU. Always starts earlier than U of I. U of I comes a little bit later. And so we had everything set up and everything on campus at U of I on Thursday, dorm move-in day and everything, trying to connect with everybody there. And I remember parking in across from Wallace and heading across the street over there to Wallace to kind of help get things set up and all that kind of stuff. And there's all these different tables were set up at the time and everything there is how things used to work and everything. And I remember walking up and looking and seeing this new gal at this table and with a campus ministry who was just absolutely vibrant. And I was full of life and Jesus and really pretty and going, I better get on my horse. I better go. And thinking maybe this is how this could work. And I remember walking up and introducing myself. And I'd spent so long just kind of going, I just don't even know how this could ever happen. That it was just kind of like, wow, there's a possibility. And not saying that, it was like love at first sight. This is what God's for sure doing. But there definitely hope dawned on the horizon, the relational horizon for me for sure. So,
and I was meeting all the other campus ministries and people. And I was like, literally said to one of the gals that was on his staff, do you want to be my friend? Because I didn't know anybody. He was sharing. I remember specifically what he was sharing about how God had a plan for that year, but the enemy did too. But God's plans were going to prevail. And I was inspired by what he said. And it's like, he's pretty cool. And but God had really given me a freedom to not, go after men. And so I was just like, cool, he's cool. That's all.
So part of what happened is, like I said, it was kind of the relational desert for a long time. And then God brought along this beautiful flower. Aww. In the relational wilderness. And I'm so grateful. Yeah,
thanks, honey.
So
yeah. Right.
Thank you, Susie. Cool. Awesome. So there's... it is so hard so many times in life when you're going through what we're going through, and there's so much that's in our hearts we're saying, God, do you even get it? Do you even understand? And oh my goodness, he understands. He formed us. He shaped us in our mother's womb. He crafted us with his hands. His fingerprints are on us. He put every desire that's in us when he made us. And so he might be saying no, but in the midst of the no, I want all of us to be, this is me right now too, all of us to be thinking, God, I can look to you with eyes of faith. I can look to you with eyes of faith. And if you're saying no right now, there's a reason. And it's not because you're interested in tormenting me, because you only do marvelous things and you're only good. You're only good. And I see that. One of my favorite verses, we have Christian come up and just kind of close with here. My favorite verses is John 14:14. And here's what it says. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And in the beginning of this, we had a little subtitle. You can put up the title slide again, please. It's no, thank you. And then how to manipulate the God of the universe. And so here's a secret about how to get your way. It's this. It's align your way with his way. Align your will with his will. Because his will is the best anyway. And if there's a conflict between those two things, all right, one of them needs to change. And we probably don't need to ask for many guesses as to which one of those needs to change, all right? You cannot manipulate God. But if you want to swing his will and your will in alignment with each other, give up on trying to make him do something that would mess up your life. And instead say, God, not my will, but your will be done. It's possible I'd like this to be a little different. That's what Jesus is saying in Gethsemane. If it's possible, I'd love this to look a little bit differently. But, your thoughts are higher than mine. Your plans are higher than mine. You're way beyond me, God. And so not my will, but yours be done. And if you're saying no, I know in the midst of it I can say thank you in faith because you're good. Jesus, we do look to you tonight. And God, I ask for every one of us, you help us to understand more and more your heart and the beauty of it. This is absolutely about relationships, things that's most important to us in life. Even those of us who say we don't need them, maybe it's been painful in the past, and we're like, just keep it away. Keep it away. It's just too much to deal with. No. No. God, you made us for it. We're made in your image and likeness, and God, you care deeply about relationships. And so, God, help us to see these key issues in life through your perspective. And when we can't understand it, help us to walk with eyes of faith, trusting in your character because you are good. You are good. You're good. We just sing this together as we close. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. Oh God, you're so good. You're so good to me. God, you've been so good. Oh God, you're so good. Over and over. Thank you, Lord. Oh God, you're so good. My God, you're so good. You're so good to me. Amen. Tonight, if you need prayer, an issue where you're going, I just need to have faith in God in the midst of the no, and it's a struggle. I need faith. I need someone who's a man or woman of faith to maybe help pray and speak some faith into me. There'll be some people over here to my left in this corner that'd be delighted to pray for you. Also, campus staff, myself, Suzanne, pray for you. And we've walked and surrendered in this and understand the struggle. Everything would be delighted to pray for you. In just a little bit, we'll wrap up with some snacks and all that stuff and everything. But please, in the fun, whatever to follow, Please make sure you take time to connect with him. He's good. All right. Carl's got some closing announcements for us.